Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with Dave Erfle, founder and editor of the Junior Minor Junkie, and we are going to focus again on the precious metals. First though, Dave, when it comes to gold and silver, two things are for sure. They are in an uptrend, they continue to break out, and there's also a lot of volatility. Just look at last night, the volatility in gold and silver, a pop higher and then a bit of a reversal, still holding these breakout levels and still very much in an uptrend. But volatility is one of these aspects of markets or sectors that can actually draw in more investors. As much as we talk about what's going to draw in investors, more investors to the precious metals and those generalists, yes, breakouts and rising markets draw these people in, but so does volatility, at least the traders, it can. What are your thoughts on that? Volatility overnight, and quite frankly, over the last couple months, the volatility that we have seen in precious metals.
Yeah, I mean, the volatility has really picked up, and I think it's going to pick up even more now as the gold price is in blue sky territory here. There is no more resistance. Basically every single person that's ever bought an ounce of gold is in the money. And there is no resistance here, and it's all blue sky from here. So the volatility is going to really ramp up. I mean, last night was a great example. I mean, the December gold futures hit 2000 overnight. And then I looked at it about 45 minutes later, and all that move disappeared. The gold price went down like $35 in minutes. And as we get into the Federal Reserve meeting here, where they're basically probably going to come out and say that that we know they're not going to raise rates. We know that they're going to keep accommodative, and they're probably going to have to be laying the groundwork for more action later this year, more stimulative action later this year. And the volatility, I expect the volatility to really ramp up here.
Now, Dave, you and I were talking off mic, and you made a comment that I hadn't really thought about, but you take a step back, you realize where gold is trading right now, and quite frankly, anybody who has bought gold, even at the tail end of that last bull market at the peak, well, they're in a slight gain position. Most people are probably in a pretty attractive gain position. That does also draw in more investors when they're seeing other people make these profits. Now, some profits maybe not that large because we just broke out. But how do you think that impacts the overall view of the precious metals markets?
Oh, it's huge. It's huge. I mean, if you take a look what's going on here in all these economies and all these central banks creating all this stimulus and creating all this money, and the Fed, basically uncertainty is their buzzword. I remember reading a two-sentence phrase that he made to the Senate when he was at a congressional meeting of the Senate, and he used the word uncertainty three times in two sentences. So it's all that uncertainty and all that money that's sloshing around in the system here. And also, I also mentioned to you before we started this conversation, before we started taping this conversation, was China is introducing an electronic renminbi next week to four different cities. So they're basically trying to circumvent the SWIFT system. They saw that how all these wealthy Chinese got all this money out of the country quickly via Bitcoin. And they see that a digital currency would benefit them also getting away from U.S. sanctions. So I'm sure a lot of investors are taking a look at that as well. So we've got all these catalysts for the gold price here. And also we're coming into probably the most heated election in the nation's history for quite some time. I don't know if either party is going to accept the other's victory, and I wouldn't be surprised if the outcome might even have to be fought in the Supreme Court. We might have to come to a decision of who wins this election until it gets into the Supreme Court. I mean, Trump has come out and said that he's not sure if he'd even accept a defeat because he feels that the election would be rigged. So it's really interesting how what's going to happen with the gold price now that we're in blue sky territory here.
Yeah, that whole blue sky territory, that I think is the most exciting thing for precious metals investors. But again, you look at where the stocks are trading, look at GDX, GDXJ, the stocks are still very much trading like gold is around 1400. Now, fine, we can look on the optimistic side and say that means there's a lot of catch-up that could happen with these stocks. But is there a potential here that maybe we're just in a different market? Maybe people are a bit more focused on the metals, or they don't want to drive down into the stocks, or quite frankly, we just have too many stocks out there and the money's getting spread too thinly?
Yeah, those are all valid points. But I just, I just focus on the juniors, and I'm focusing on where some of these juniors that are de-risking high margin projects, where the gold price is now and where it was the last time they were trading at these levels. And like you said in your question, I mean, a lot of these juniors, they haven't even caught up where the gold price is. I mean, the gold price is now, I believe, is creating a floor at 1800. I think that was the former resistance. That was the former long-term overhead resistance. I mean, that's where the last resistance point was, and now that's becoming a floor. And a lot of these juniors are not even close to factoring that in yet. And we've also got all this retail money that's beginning to come into the sector via their Robinhood trading accounts using their stimulus checks, and they're about to get another one. And I wouldn't be surprised if many of them use it to put into their Robinhood accounts. And there is evidence that they've finally discovered the gold sector. So it's really getting exciting here of what these juniors can eventually do. So I can't reiterate enough that people need to maintain core positions in quality juniors here. Absolutely, take profits on the way up, but maintain core positions here because we've got a ways to run.
Now, with these new traders and these Robinhood traders, do you think that money actually lands in individual stocks, or is that very much an ETF play?
Well, it's an ETF play, and plus individual stocks, they can get into the individual stocks that are traded on the AMEX and the juniors that are traded on the AMEX. So there are companies that realize this. We had it happen with Integra recently, where they uplisted to the AMEX. I think they began trading on Friday. I wouldn't be surprised to see a lot of these juniors start to do the same thing. If I were a CEO of a management team that was de-risking a high margin project, I was cashed up and I was really close to the finance stage, I would definitely uplist to the AMA here.
Yeah, fair enough. Get more attention, or at least open yourself up to more of the investors. Dave, one other common theme that we are seeing in the precious metal sector when it comes to the stocks is a lot of money being raised. Every time we seem to get a couple days or a week of slow news when it comes to private placements, it picks right back up. Bought deals, upsized bought deals, normal private placements, those are also being upsized. These companies have a lot of cash now, so that's maybe less of a risk factor when you look at some of these stocks. But what are you? What's your view of all this money, all this fundraising that's been happening?
Well, it's extremely bullish, and you can also add to the fact that these upsized bought deals, which become highly dilutive, are being bought. You know, investors see that all these management teams that have been doing the proper that have been making the proper moves during a bear market by keeping their share structure as tight as they could, watching every dollar, making sure as much of that money goes into the ground by de-risking the project, you know, proving up more ounces. You know, now they've got the cash to actually do some real, you know, do some real work, and investors see that, and these bought deals are being bought. I mean, look what happened with Discovery recently. They announced a $35 million bought deal on top of another bought deal just recently, and the stock skyrocketed. I mean, I'm a shareholder, and I had to take some profit because the stock got too big in my portfolio. I have a personal rule that if a stock gets more than 10% of my portfolio, I take some profits. And this stock is all of a sudden a $500 million market cap, when just 6 months ago, it was a microcap stock. You know, the company's now raised, I think they have about 77 million cash once this deal is closed. And I think fully diluted, they're going to have over 100 million cash.
Dave, why doesn't share structure seem to matter right now? Because in all fairness, you and I were talking about Discovery Metals off mic before recording, and we just started talking about some of the fundamentals, and that company has, on a fully diluted basis, over 300 million shares outstanding. Usually high share counts can hold stocks back. Doesn't seem to be the case right now.
Right, and there's a caveat there. You have to. It's always important to see who owns those shares. You know, if a lot of those, if let's say 70, 60, 70, 80% of that float is in the public market, that's not a very good sign. But if you see, like in the case of Discovery, I think Eric Sprott now owns 27% himself of that company. And I know, I think the retail float is 50% or less. So if you have strong-handed shareholders, then the very high share count doesn't matter as much. But as you say, plus we also discussed off mic about these Oxygen Capital Group companies, they've never shied away from large share structures, and the companies are doing well. I mean, look at Pure Gold. I mean, that company, stock price continues to rise, and that share structure is very high. And also another company that I own that's in the Oxygen Capital Group is Liberty, and that share structure is getting pretty high as well.
So everything seems to be doing well, right? We can both agree that it doesn't matter really what the stock is. If it's a precious metal stock right now, it is doing well. How do you try to stay more focused then in this type of environment?
Yeah, that's a great point. As we've discussed in previous weeks, you know, the wind is really blowing, so a lot of these turkeys are flying. That's when you really you have to make sure that you've done your due diligence to get in the proper companies to feel comfortable holding them for the next couple of years during this bull market, because you don't want to hold something that's just maybe been pumped by a newsletter or is just a drill play and they've had a couple of hits and they don't have a defined resource. You know, there's a better chance for these companies to sell off a lot more. I mean, you want to focus on a company that has a defined resource but is also a drill play. You know, they've got this defined resource, but they're also stepping out on it and they're coming up with good results. So it's always better to have a company that has a defined resource and is also a drill play, because then you get the benefit of both. I mean, you feel comfortable holding the stock for a long term because you know that the company's already defined this resource that's rather large and may attract a major, and it has blue sky potential. Plus, you've got the company also continuing to drill, just to have step out drilling on the project.
All right, Dave, we will wrap it up there. Always interesting comments, and hey, finally exciting to be in this sector as everything is running higher, but it's important to note why it's running higher, and also very important to ensure that the company is doing good work with all this money that is being raised, because well, this sector unfortunately can be good at wasting money every once in a while as well. Dave, good chatting with you. Thanks for taking some time today. I look forward to chatting with you next week. Have a great rest of your week.
You too, Corey. Thanks.